like get us motivated to do this. And then next Sunday we'll restart Gospel of John. And actually we'll restart by looking at John chapter 15 next Sunday. But if you have your Bibles or devices with you today, please turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. As you're finding Psalm 90, I am going to go ahead and start reading. I'll read it slowly for us to kind of think about what this psalm is about. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like a grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. Yet they are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. This is God's word. Here's my outline. Three things I want to talk about. The psalmist shows us problems in life. So we have problems. Second point is the second half of the psalm is filled with prayers. So there are problems, and then there are prayers, and then we have a prophet. So three things: problems, prayers, and prophet. So problems. Verse 3, I'm going to kind of read a few verses here and there, so if you have your Bibles open or devices on, that'll be helpful. Verse 3 says, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. This is directly quoted from Genesis chapter 3 when the curse comes upon humanity after Adam and Eve sinned. Genesis chapter 3, 19, he says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's the curse that God places upon mankind because of sin. And friends, this is our destiny, that all of us will face death at some point. And none of us know exactly when that is, but it will come. So the first problem, the main problem, is that all of us will face death. But it's not just death. He goes on to talk about that not are we only going to face death, but even the life that we do have here on earth will be filled with frustrations, and it will be short. And verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Verse 5, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like a grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. So he's talking about how our life is like a dream. You know, those of us who, you know, you might, middle of the night, you wake up and you, like, you've been dreaming something that's really pleasant. And you go, man, I need to remember this. I got to tell my wife. I got to tell my friend about this. This dream is amazing. I mean, you know, anyone? You wake up and you go, wow, this is a great dream, and I want to remember it so that I can tell other people about this dream that I had. what happens the next morning? You wake up and you go, oh, what was the dream about? And we completely forget. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Although we want to remember our dreams, we forget. And that's our life, he says. He says, no matter what you accomplish in life, no matter how successful you are, no matter what you accumulate in this life, after 50 years, after 100 years, you will be forgotten. No one will remember you. Sorry to be a pessimist here this morning, but that's what he's saying. He's saying our life is like a dream. It comes and goes. And he says it again. We are like grass. Grass, when it comes up, is pleasant. In the springtime, it comes up and we enjoy it for a season. But soon it withers and it's gone. And that's his point. His point is there are problems in life. Our life is short. It's filled with pain. No one remembers us. It's in a blink of an eye, we are here and we are gone. Verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Now, some of us might think 70, 80 years, well, that's a pretty lengthy time. But those of us who are getting a little older, not really. Like a year. I mean, this is year 2019. In my mind, when I close my eyes, like the decade that I recall like most vividly is the 80s. Maybe like the 90s. Really, like the songs, I mean like the movies, the 80s. I don't know what happened in the 90s, in the 2000s, 2010. I have no clue what happened. All I know is I'm married and I have three kids and they're getting older. I mean, that's what happens. It's 70 years. It's a mist compared to eternity. That's what the psalmist is saying. Even if you try to live healthy, I mean, 80 years old, 90 maybe. But, I mean, that's it. And in light of eternity, it's like it's a dream. It comes and it goes. Not only that, but he again says that the span of our years is filled with toil and trouble. Something is not right in this life. Like, none of us feel like every day that we are living to the fullest. Right? Every year, you look back and you say, you know, I should have done this better. I could have managed my time better. I mean, most of us look back and there's some regrets, right, in year 2018. None of us feel like we've done everything perfectly. I mean, that's our whole life. And you get to 70 and 80, and when you look back, sure, you'll have some good things to remember, but it will also be intertwined with regrets and troubles and pain and toil. And that's what he is saying. And on top of that, verse 7, it says, "For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath, we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." But God is upset because of sin. And even though our secret sins that only we know, perhaps it's thoughts that we think about, maybe it's secret sin that we try to hide from others, I mean, he says, even the secret sins are revealed in God's presence. Verse 9, "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh." No one finishes well. We all will die with a sigh. That's what he's saying. Verse 11, "Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to fear of you?" He's saying no one fully comprehends how or the extent and potential of God's anger. Like no one can fathom the wrath of God that he has against sin. That is what he's saying. And at the end of the day, we are left without excuses. We don't have resources to make this life any better. And that's the first half of the psalm. And it's a realistic view of life, isn't it? Because again, I mean, there are things that we are blessed with, and and things that we want to achieve. I mean, those things are good, and we have our health, maybe family and friends and work. I mean, things are going well, and yet we all know that it's intertwined with brokenness and pain and regrets and disappointments and heartaches. I mean, it's there. Any of you feel this way as you look back 2018, that you look back and maybe more than things that you've done well, or you just feel like this past year was a year of regrets, and there's been heartaches and pain in your life. You look back, and as you look forward, you're hoping that this coming year 2019 will be different. I mean, that's what you're hoping for. I mean, how do you make that happen? Now, this psalm is beautiful because the second half of the psalm is filled with prayers of hope and redemption. So let's talk about that. So second half of the psalm is prayers, and it starts with verse 12. He says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Notice that these requests are not random things that he's praying for. He is praying for redemption. He's praying for things that he talked about, like he's asking, help me not to be overwhelmed by the brevity of life. But he's saying, help me to number my days right so that I can live with wisdom. And he's saying, rather than experiencing the wrath of God, God, help me now to be satisfied with your steadfast love, right? I mean, he's saying, I don't want to experience your wrath. I'd rather experience your love, steadfast love for me. He's saying, I don't want to know just afflictions in life. No, God, I want to know gladness. What he's saying, what he's doing, these prayers are prayers of redemption. He's saying, all these things have happened, and yet, God, I want the opposite. I want something that's good. I want life. I want wisdom. That's what he's praying for. And to make that really clear, what he does is he uses exact same words in the first half of the psalm and repeats them in the second half of the psalm. In verse 3, he says, "You return man to dust." Verse 10, he says, he prays, "Return, O Lord." Verse 6, he says, "In the morning, fades and withers." Verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning." Verse 9, "All of our days pass away under your wrath." Verse 14, "That we may rejoice and be glad all of our days." The psalm is structured like a scale. On the one hand, he's saying there's death. Brevity of life is painful. There's toil, disappointments. We sense your wrath. But on the other hand, the scale, on the other side, he's praying, "God, I want to experience your steadfast love. I want to be filled with wisdom. I want to know the joy and gladness of my salvation." It's a scale, right? And he's saying, the key verse in this, he finishes by saying, verse 15, "Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil." He's saying, as much as I've experienced frustration in this life, God, now make me glad on this side. That's his prayer. It's a prayer of redemption. It's a scale, and he's asking for God's favor. He's asking for God's favor that will outweigh all the stuff that he's experienced in this life. And this is a great prayer for the new year. When you look back, you might have maybe disappointments. There might be regrets in your life. Maybe there is pain and heartaches that you feel as you look at 2018. Well, we can pray this. We can pray, "God, this past year or past few years or past season in my life has been hard. There'd be a lot of struggles, and I don't know how to get out of that. But God, as I look forward, I pray this. I pray that you will reverse sort of the curse. Or I pray that you will reverse the pain that I've experienced and give me joy and give me gladness. This could be our prayers. And friends, I want to say this should be our prayers this year as we move into 2019. That God will redeem your past. That God will reverse sort of the pain and the toil, disappointments that you might have faced. Because God could do it. Now, as we pray this, how do we know that God does this, or God will do this in our life? My third point is, we have a prophet. This psalm, if you have the Bible, if you have your Bibles open, the very beginning, it says, this psalm is a psalm of Moses. And I think this is the only one that Moses wrote that's ascribed to Moses. And the reason why the scholars put this together, well, one of the reasons is verse 13. In verse 13, it says, "Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants." Now, those are exact, there are two words that appears in that verse that appears also in Exodus chapter 32. That's the prayer that Moses prayed in behalf of God's people. And the context is, you know, Moses comes down with 10 commandments, and he sees his people worshiping image of golden calf. And God is upset. And God basically says, these are stiff-necked people. They will never learn. They have went away from me. They are worshiping something else. I wanna eradicate them, and I want to bless you, Moses. But Moses begins to pray and intercedes in behalf of the Israelites. And he says, God, turn away from your anger. The exact prayer is, turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. I mean, he stands in the gap and he prays. The amazing thing is God listens to Moses' prayer. God doesn't destroy them. He continues to lead them, blesses them, establishes them, helps them to enter the promised land because of Moses' prayer. What we need today as we enter into a new season is someone like Moses. We need a prophet who will intercede in behalf of us. And we know this because we've just gone through the Advent season, that God sent his son, the greater prophet, not only to intercede in behalf of us, and although he's doing that today now, the right hand of the Father, but he actually took upon himself the wrath of God. He actually reversed the curse. But think about these things. And the psalmist is praying about death because that's reality that all of us will face. But yet in Christ, death is not the end. It's only a passageway to full life with God, right? I mean, he talks about the wrath of God. In Christ, we no longer are objects of God's wrath. The Bible tells us that rather than experiencing the wrath of God, that wrath has been poured into Christ. And because of who he is, and as we trust in Jesus, we don't experience the wrath of God. Wrath of God is not poured upon us because it's poured on Christ. What gets poured into our hearts, the Bible tells us, is the love of God. The God love is poured into our hearts. And through the Spirit, we declare Abba, Father, and we can love him back because we've experienced God's love in Christ. I mean, things are reversed. You think about the brevity of life. Under the curse, nothing matters. No matter how hard you work, no one will remember you. No one will remember your accomplishments. But in Christ, this psalm says, God can establish the work of our hands. The little things that we do will be remembered by God and will have eternal significance. Think about that. That though our life might be short, we can serve and love, whether it happens in the church context or at your workplace, in your family life. Friends, we can do things in his name. We can love people, and that can have eternal significance. All of that happens because we have a prophet that's greater than Moses. Friends, that's why believing in Christ and abiding in Christ is so significant. As we believe in Christ, all of this, the prayer that Moses praises in Psalm 90 is yes and amen in Christ for us. That we now can, rather than being afraid of God's wrath, we now can experience the love of God for us. Rather than struggling with work and feeling like they're insignificant, in Christ we can know that the things that we do in faith for love of others can have significance. Rather than being disappointment or disappointed or discouraged by how quickly life is passing you by, we can ask, God, help me to number my days so that I can gain wisdom. The curse is reversed because of Jesus when we believe in him. And these truths will become realities for us as we abide in him. It's like God has accomplished these things in Christ, and yet we try to live on our own, trying to achieve things by ourselves. What we need to do is we need to abide in Christ so that these truths might become more real in our life, that we get to experience the love of God, that we get to experience the satisfaction of working hard. I mean, all of these things are for us in Christ, and so we need to abide in him. That's our motivation. Jesus flips, turns everything around. The wrath is gone. The curse is broken. We can live the prayer that Moses prayed in Psalm 90. Let me just go back to the prayer, and I just want to highlight just three things as I close this time. And maybe some of these things can be your prayers as you walk into 2019. Moses says, so teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom. For some of us, maybe that needs to be your prayers. What he's saying is, help me to know how short my life is. Help me not to waste my life. Another year's gone by. For some of us, we need to say, I don't want to waste life. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste my resources. I don't want to waste the gifts that God's given me. Help me, God, to number my days right. Help me to know how short my life is. And help me to know that this is an opportunity that you've given me. And help me to live for you. Help me to serve you. Help me to be used by you this year. I mean, that's your prayer. That needs to be your prayer. Verse 13, it says, return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Some of us, maybe this ought to be your prayers as you enter into 2019. Maybe you've been away from God for a long time. Maybe you've been wandering in the wilderness. And you've just been distant from God. You know, whatever the reason might be, you just feel distant, and maybe this is your prayer. You should pray, God, come back into my life. Oh God, draw me closer to you. Return to me, oh God. The Bible promises that when we seek him with all of our hearts, that we will find him. Maybe this is you. As you start another year, maybe your prayers ought to be, God, help me to come back to you. Come back to me, Lord. Lastly, verse 14, he says, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Maybe our prayer simply, for some of us, it's, God, I know you love me because of Christ. Help me to be satisfied in this love. Help me to know this love that you have for me. You know, it's a simple prayer, right? You know, there's so many other things and distractions. You're just praying, God, help me to re-experience this love that you have for me. Maybe that should be your prayer as you enter the season. Simply, God, I want to know you. I want to experience your love for me. So, friends, I'm going to invite the praise team to come up, and we're going to sing a song, just kind of crying out to Christ. And then after we sing this song together, we're going to have communion. But the heart behind this morning is Christ has reversed the curse. You know, we no longer have to be afraid of death or be disappointed in life. Jesus can redeem all of these things. And this is why it's so important for us to abide in Him, walk with Him, and really see how Christ can begin to redeem our past and work in amazing, powerful ways. We want to expect that corporately and individually as well. So let's stand together, and we're going to sing this song. And this song, I found out this morning, it was written in 1979. Okay, so it's an old song, but it's a song that's really simple, and I think it gets to the heart of what we're talking about this morning.